Welcome to the Draft Doctors Fantasy Footy Podcast with your hosts, John Crockett, Steve Fizz, and the Statesman.
G'day everybody, and welcome to the Draft Doctors. Jono here, and today we've got our keeper stock take. We're talking all those blokes over 30, if we're going to keep, trade them, or cut them from our list. As we know, the Statesman's a bit of an ageist, so all of his players are just going to be cut from the list automatically. But we welcome Steve, who doesn't mind a few blokes over 30 on his team. How you doing, mate?
Don't mind a few blokes over 30. Yeah, g'day, John. G'day, listeners. Don't know about you blokes. You're all over 30 and can't really stand the sight here, to be honest. But great response from the listeners last week. Obviously, they missed me the previous 2 weeks, and the fans were out in full voice, and they were really happy to hear me take you boys to task. So any slip up, and I'm ready to bring the fire. And I don't know, I can maybe get some sort of electric shock device or some sort of trap door sitting under your seats and just bring the absolute heat for the listeners.
Well, what was that bit in Ghostbusters where the guy's trying to do the psychic testing? Every time he got one wrong, just give him the electric shock. Maybe just bring that in.
That's a good plan, John. I'm all for it. Maybe a cattle prod behind you or something like that. Perfect.
All for it. All for it. And the mustache just keeps getting bigger and bigger by the week. And we welcome to you, Kevin Heffernan, a.k.a. Father. I mean, Statesman, how are you doing?
I have a strimple today, gentlemen. Now, Bunnings. It's always worthwhile to go to Bunnings because on entry, before you go and spend most of your savings on your house renovations, you go and enjoy a sausage. Now, I want to make this clear. I'm not the PC fanatic controller. I don't care about this onion. You can put it underneath. You can put it in the side. You can put it on the top. You know, to be quite honest, if it is a risk and people are going to slip over and sue Bunnings, I'm quite happy. Just scrap the onions. I'm quite happy to have the sausage and a bread. But my strimple is, seeing I'm halfway through kitchen renovations as we speak, Mrs. Statesman driving me hard, is that I got the sausage. It was beautiful and hot, but it was sitting in a stale piece of bread. Mm. Now, the bottom line, I don't care about your onions. Don't care, but at least give me fresh bread with my hot sausage. If I'm going to pay 250% higher than what is going to be the cost at my local football club, which is always the dollar snag no matter where you go, at the end of the day, give me a fresh piece of bread. So that's my strample.
I completely agree. I don't care for onions much on my sausage and bread, but as long as it is fresh. And do you like a diagonal or straight up and down there, Statesman?
Oh, God.
How do you like your sausage?
Well, look, to be quite honest, if I'm doing it at home, I'm cutting it in half and I'm having two straight up and down. But when they're only giving you one piece of bread, you've got to go that diagonal look, don't you?
Boo.
Extra security, in my opinion.
No.
That's a team diagonal. Call.
Do you like the hangover?
Yeah, I like the hangover.
I like a diagonal.
Do not do the hangover in public. It's not the vision you want to show in public.
The problem is with the diagonal is you get that one, the top corner, that's just a mouthful of bread. What the hell is that? I'd rather two mouthfuls of snag than a mouthful of bread.
Well, when you get stale bread, yep, you just get rid of it, mate.
That's right.
But onions
are
trash.
Ain't knocking bread. Plain bread is a godsend, in my opinion. So I'm all for that one plain bite of bread and taking the two bits at the end. I feel like the reason you go vertical is part of the reason why you've had to move out of rap, mate.
So no, lesson number one on this pod, Cam, from now on, you don't speak till you introduce. Jono?
And we welcome the third McLaughlin brother. Now you can say your piece.
Jeez, now I just feel a little bit sheepish.
He's learning. He's got the L plates on. He's learning. He's learning.
So thanks for that, and the recovery will be through the pod, I guess.
Well, you did smack me last week, so I had to line you up somehow.
I did. Nah, it's all right. I'm glad I've been lined up through the show. I had a whole bit about baby bunting prepared, but all I can say is that baby bunting sucks, and so do you, Statesman. Let's knock them out.
You You could have done your bunting bit, because I feel like we've done the diagonal horizontal bit before. Whereas you would say from Queensland, vertical.
What?
Let's move on.
We are talking our keeper stock take today, so we have a list of blokes who are pushing 30 or over the 30 mark, and we're just going to run through them. We're going to keep, trade them, or cut them from our list, and at the end we've got a couple of blokes that we are, who are 22 and under that we want to trade in before they have their breakout season, and just ones those that we are keeping an eye on who might have played only a handful of games that they've done something to keep catch our eye, and we look to stash away for our future drafts. But the first player, he is the oldest player on the list, and that is Sean Burgoyne. What are we doing with Sean Burgoyne, Statesman?
Well, if you've got Stevie Fizz in your league, you trade him. if Stevie Fizz isn't in your league, you simply cut him.
Do you think there's any chance of him getting defender status back next year?
Sorry, who cares?
No, I think that's right. I actually think who cares.
Okay, yeah. I did have him as a cut, but if he does get a DPP, I'm holding.
If he gets DPP, I'm holding because he came home with an average of 95 from his last five games. It's not bad even for a 36-year-old, guys.
Exactly. The next one is the second oldest player on the list, and that is Aaron Sanderland, and that is just a straight cut for me because he's probably going to play only the 6 to 8 games before he gets injured for me.
I would say that he's the type of person you pick up late, handcuffing him to Darcy.
Well, Darcy would be owned by someone, you would think.
Yeah, that's
of course,
point.
But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you, Fizzy. At the end of the day, everything else is a cut. If he's your standalone ruckman, you don't keep him. You go searching for someone else.
Yeah, definitely. The next one is Cade Simpson. The guy just keeps on keeping on and hardly misses a game. He's one you either, depending on how your teams look, you're either keeping him or looking to trade him off to someone who's in need of a quality defender, you would think.
Yeah, I think he's a keep, and he really has to be the way he keeps. He never misses a game. He rolls out a great average, and the simple fact is, like, you might be one of those teams who feels like they're in the mix. And you know, depending on how your season's going, you hang on to him and ride him out, or, you know, if things go pear-shaped with the rest of your list, you're probably going to get something for him because he's probably going to be a close, you know, that sort of between D7 and D15, somewhere in that range, and that's probably going to be very valuable.
Yep, agree. Gary Ablett Jr., guys, your thoughts on Gaz?
Well, I traded him last year. Well, I actually traded him in, then traded him out. But I traded him in because I knew he had value, and it was I got a bit of a 3-for-1 deal, him and Pendles. So I think he's a little bit the same as Cade Simpson. He's currently got some value. I'm unsure where his football lies in the future. I was pretty hot that he was actually going to be a forward this year. They didn't do that, and they've brought in two forwards onto their list in Dalhouse and Rowan. So maybe he looks to continue in that midfield, but we know he can go big. Whether they start managing his body and the time is questionable, but maybe Steve's theory on Simo is pretty similar. You keep, and if things aren't looking good, he's still got some value and some people want him.
Yeah, for me, he's sort of a... I think he will play the mid, as you're saying. They've brought in two forwards. But for me, Gary Ablett, I would be looking for, you know, if you're not in contention this year, use him as your bait. Throw it over to someone who's probably looking at a top three, top two finish in your league and try and get some unreal value because, you know, he's going to pump out probably a couple of 130s throughout the year.
We all do our own list management. We go through the draft. We top up our teams. And then we all have strong opinions of who's actually got a good team and who hasn't. In the reality, isn't list management and looking at everyone else's list a bit of the NFI show? So I looked at Steve's list at the beginning of this year, and I might have said that actually I remember him offering me a trade. He wanted, or I wanted to sell someone, he wanted to buy someone, and I looked and there was just no one in that team that I actually wanted. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, you're in the grand final, Steve.
No, I think I lost in the semis or something like that.
Yeah.
Lost to Jono in the semi.
Yeah.
Right, and Jono made the grand final. But I remember looking through that list going, well, there's really no one that I wanted that I believe that he would be happy to hand off. I mean, Dusty Martin, yes, he's a very good player, but I didn't want a player and a keeper like Zorko, who's, you know, 29 turning 30, and yes, he has his peaks, but he has his down. So I'm looking at Steve's list going, geez, I don't like many players on there. So that's me sort of saying, I don't think he's got much of a team. But so all of a sudden, he's lost a grand final, which was the first year, and then lost a semi-final.
Yeah. So I actually think you look at it slightly different. So even though you maybe don't think that someone has a very good list, it doesn't mean that that's the conversation that you have with the person. So the conversation I'd be having is, mate, your list looks like you're going to be on top of the league this year. I think you're going to have an amazing run.
So here's you're saying nugget. This to another 11 teams.
Here is your nugget.
And then you
your
just
golden nugget.
Handcuff it with Partiff and you're all good.
So I think I'm probably thinking that you actually go strong with your list, no matter how it looks, because you don't know what happens with injuries, with positional changes and all that type of stuff, and how quick those developing players kick on. Like, who would have guessed Clayton Oliver went from a 60 average to a 100 average in year two? There's a player, Taranto, did a similar thing at GWS. Now, if you have four of those, all of a sudden you've gone from mid-range team to one of the top teams. So I think you back your list in at the beginning of the year, and come round six or seven, you get a bit of an indication of how things are travelling. So I've had probably one of the best lists in a keeper league, and actually lost by two or three points for two or three rounds. All of a sudden I'm out of the running by having a bit of bad luck or an injured player, an injured captain.
And that's the thing about fantasy football is you got to remember it's a week-to-week game. It's not, this is my great team that's going to win every game in the season. Like, I'm playing in the NFL fantasy right now. My team was second in points scored, but I'm last because everyone is just having a banger week against me. Like, my points against is unbelievable. I might be scoring really well, but unfortunately, it's a head-to-head, you know, it's a week-to-week league. And I'm just losing the head-to-head battles, like, despite my consistently good performance. So, you know, I think you're right, Statesman. Like, you can think you have a, you know, you're rebuilding. I thought I was rebuilding at the start of the year, but then so many players, you know, the older players especially, I guess, performed really well, and I had the outlier player in Brody Grundy. So,
yep.
It sort of buoyed me up.
Fair enough. Luke Hodge, gents, what are we thinking of Luke Hodge, especially with the ins they've got in their defence this year? Yep, I agree on that one.
Yeah, I think he's a cut, but he might be someone I'm still okay redrafting.
Yep. Oh, look, I'm happy to redraft him, but yeah, for now, you'd be cutting him in the hopes of getting someone else. Daniel Wells is an automatic cut for me.
Cut.
Jared McVeigh.
Cut.
Cut.
Yep.
I think Jared McVeigh is a little bit list dependent. I know that's going to be an unpopular opinion and people will poo-poo it, but I actually think he generally scores pretty well when he's on the park, so I'd track him over the preseason and see how things are shaping up.
I poo-poo that.
Yeah, that's fine. I got no beef with it. I think there's going to be such a gulf between the top and the bottom of the defence, and especially if you think someone like a Callum Mills goes into the midfield, I think Jared McVeigh may have some value, even though it's a little bit thin.
Yeah, I can see McVeigh pushing to the wing and being that link man.
Hey, and look, let's be realistic. There's going to be some ACLs done between now and January, boys, unfortunately.
Well, just like Paddy Cripps apparently did one earlier in the week. And whoever that reporter was, I hope you're fired. The next player is David Mundy. For me, he's a keep.
Oh, I'm cutting David Mundy.
Interesting.
Yeah, I think he loses the forward status. So he's probably someone I'm going to pick up pretty quickly in the redraft. But I'm pretty happy to cut him over keeping someone like, you know, an Adam Chera or whatever.
Yeah, I'm, could be I'm good cut too.
Trade bait for not, someone who might be not as savvy in the league.
No, I don't
not
think so.
Not if he's mid only.
People aren't going
he's
to be
not,
trading.
He's not Ablett.
I know he's not Ablett, but yeah. You do. We all do play with those non-savvy traders who just look at basic average basis only, and then you could do a deal that way. Even if he does lose his forward status,
oh, he's a good, find it solid hard to citizen.
I'd be looking for the DPP. If he keeps it, I'd probably hold. If he doesn't, cut.
Okay. Oh. Heath Shaw.
Yeah, I'm keeping.
I'm trading. I'm so unsure about this. I'm going to use the value while it's there.
Yeah, I'd trade him in. AFL Fantasy, I'd keep him in Supercoach. I just think with the kick-ins, with the unknown, he could get a bump, but it could also go the other way. So I'm keeping him in that format. Jordan Lewis.
Cut.
Yep, totally agree. He's a cut. I think the game's gone past him, and he's just a Bernie Vince Mark II now.
Can I throw out a bit of a differing opinion? He is going to take the majority of the kick-ins for Melbourne.
Wrong.
I think he did this year. He took the majority of the kick-ins. Why wouldn't he next year?
And no is the answer to your question.
Steve May.
Why would... So, again, Steve May is a very tall target. I think he will be on the perimeter.
But still a very good kick.
Hibbert will be the kick-out man.
Okay.
And no was the answer to your original question, was can I offer a differing opinion? No.
Just got a big target painted on my forehead. Says, you know, statesman kick here, thanks. all right, fine. Lewis, I would hold if he gets that role, but I'd watch Shaolti first.
I think you can redraft him. Scotty Thompson for North Melbourne.
Oh, probably not even in a super coach.
He did have a pretty good year this year, but...
Did?
He did. He was very serviceable, but yeah, he's a cut for me. I think Mad Jack's going to take over that role even more as that big key forward down back. Harry Taylor is a cut for me.
Yeah, I probably should have put him on the list, to be honest.
That's right. He's 32. We can talk about him. It's a simple one. He's a cut. The Westhoff is an interesting one, really.
I'd go a trade because he had a career best average with the bringing in of Lysette. So you got Ryder and Lysette working together. It just means Westhoff might have a good role, but he's got less of a chance to have a really good role where he's accumulated a lot of points. So while he's got that nice, beautiful big average sitting next to him, he'll be worthwhile getting as much value out of him as you possibly can.
Yeah, I'd probably hold. I don't think the value's going to be there, to be honest. Like, I know we can sit here and say, oh, trade him, but, I mean, if I was talking about Westhoff with you, Statesman, I mean, you're not going to give me much for him. I mean, it just feels like one where keeper coaches are going to be savvy enough to go, no.
I'll give you Daniel Wells for him, though. That's a fair bit. He's a very talented player.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of talent around, isn't there?
Apparently he's your linchpin. He's the one that's going to take you to the next level, as Cam was telling us before.
Hey, yeah, he doesn't miss. Like, there's some value in that. Like, I just don't think the trade value is going to be rich enough. Like,
because he could actually be a wingman and actually average extremely high.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, Westhoff's averaged 100 this year, where he's always been around that 85 to 88. Average. That's not terrible. That's not terrible, especially if he still retains that forward status. I'd be holding him.
You never would have spent a lot on him.
True.
No, you never did.
True. But that's why I think the trade, while it's sitting there high.
So you think you can get something better?
Team trade.
Interesting. Steph Martin.
Well, I'm really concerned with the whole ruck situation, to be honest. And the only ruckman I really am keen on right now is Brody Grundy. So I'm sort of giving the Premiership Cup to Steve already, to be honest, because I think he possibly could be 35 points more than anyone else. But I think that means anyone that's actually a decent scoring ruckman, you just keep for the time being until we know what's going on. So I think it's the security you keep.
I also, I'm looking at a trade, especially with the rise of Oscar McInerney as well. He was pretty good in tandem with Steph Martin last year, and even though Steph did score well in games, it wasn't the consistent Steph we saw in years gone by, so I'd be looking to get him out of my team while he's still got some value.
For me, he's one of those guys like Cade Simpson where I'm holding, and then I'm just seeing how things shake down. I think he's actually going to be one of the better performing rucks. I think, like, you look at what Brisbane have done with their list, and they brought in Adams. I think that means they can push Walker back forward. Maybe they only play the solo ruck. And Steph Martin, he's one of the rucks I'm going to really look at, because he's like Brody Grundy in that he's a high possession ruckman. He can average 110 when he's in the solo role. So I'm looking to hang on to him. And he is going to, if, let's say, things pan out that rucks don't score as well, but Steph Martin is the second ruck and clearly second ruck, you're going to get a ransom in return if someone's pushing for a flag.
Yep, definitely a key for now.
Jared Rufford.
No thanks.
Cut for me.
Cut.
Buddy Franklin.
I'm a trade with Buddy. Now, this may sound very odd because he's got such a big name. He's so athletic. But there are cracks for me, and I think Sydney are starting to realise they need to start planning for the future. So I think his highest value is right now, and that one could burn me. I understand that. There is the possibility that could burn me, but to me, Lance Franklin's a trade.
No, I agree. I've got him as a trade as well. He's 31, be 32 next year, and what's he got, another 70 years on his contract, so get out while you can.
Trade.
Lids Deludio.
He's coming back. I think I gave him a good year on the way forward 3 years ago. So I'm just hoping it actually happens somewhere along. Even if it's two games on the trot, would be nice. Now, obviously, the reality is he's not worth anything, and he's not worth the risk keeping. So you're better off having a young fella on. So Deludio's a cut, unfortunately. Such a good player that has given us not much for the last 4 or 5 years.
Agreed. Steve's boy, Dale Thomas.
How's he my boy?
I've been talking him up. I know.
He had a good year. You got to respect that.
How do you get Goatison in Thomas?
Goatmas.
Goatmas. He did have a good year, so do you think he's got some trade value? I've got him as a trade.
No, I don't think you get anything. I think he's just a straight cut. And
agree.
He might be someone you take late. I'd be interested to see what they do with Sam Doherty in the preseason, whether he's sitting across half-back or whether he's in the midfield.
Yeah, it'll be interesting watching out for JLT there. Kieran Jack, straight cut.
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 Mark Murphy.
Keep.
He's a keep. And it's because there's no trade value. He's too good to cut, so you just keep.
Fire take. I actually think Mark Murphy's going to have a very good year.
And I agree. Yeah. Yep, I agree.
Yep. JJK from the Eagles. Keep in Supercoach, but tradable or cuttable in AFL Fantasy.
Oh, he's a cut. I'm not even considering that. Yeah, I think he had two good AFL Fantasy years, really. That's it.
He's more a super coach player than AFL Fantasy for sure.
Yeah, I'm with you, Jono. I think that's a fair point.
Yep.
Shannon Hearn.
Oh, God. Steve's boy.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy to hang on to him. You know, retains the kick-in duties. West Coast probably didn't make a whole lot of moves. He should give you a lot of good games. And you know, you've got
consistent.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy to take him on. I mean, if they're directing kicks away from Jeremy McGovern, the opposition, that is, you know, they might go towards Shannon Hearn. Could be good news.
Yeah, I'm happy to keep Shannon Hearn if he's in my team.
Yep.
Scotty Pendlebury. I'm trading him. I've just got no idea about the Collingwood midfield. He's 30 years of age now. I know Beams is in the same area as well, but I just don't want a bar of Pendles at all next year, so... Got the value, got the brand, get rid of him, get something maybe a little bit better and younger in your team.
I've already traded him, so...
I'm happy to keep him.
Yeah, he's not the worst decision at all.
Yeah, no. Nathan Jones.
Cut.
Cut.
Yeah, I don't have him, wouldn't have him. Cut.
My boy, Grant Birchall, definitely a keep.
He's not in anyone's team, so you can't keep him.
Shit. Pick him off of the free agency list then.
Yeah, he's dirt cheap. Pick him up, redraft.
You'll redraft him. Sean Higgins is a keep for me.
Yeah, that must be a super coach slant, because even though he plays really good footy the last couple of years with the Kangaroos, it doesn't translate into great fantasy scores. I'm not against the keep, but if someone really likes or gets sucked into the better footballer rather than the better AFL fantasy player, then maybe he's a trade.
I'd see to trade.
I would 100% be wanting to trade him. You might have to package him up to get that trade done, but I want him out of my team. I don't want a bar of Sean Higgins next year.
Yep.
I've never had a bar of him. I think I selected him in salary cap about 15 years ago when he did about 2 games, got injured, come back for 3 games, got injured, come back for 4 games. I've never had a bar of him ever since, even though he's been a great footballer. I don't want to
perennial get that. Burn man.
Yeah.
If you kept him, you are really hoping he gets forward status.
Yeah, correct.
Because I look at the moves they've made with that midfield and he should be getting out of there.
Mm.
Paddy Ryder.
Oh.
The second string ruckman at Port Adelaide.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a tough one.
I think you can cut him, but I mean, you might be in ruck purgatory, so you might sort of be forced to keep him, but I'd move on.
Yeah, I've never had a ruck in our keeper league, so if anyone's cutting him, then I could be looking to pick him up on the cheap.
In a redraft league, I can't see him going in the first 12 rounds, so he's definitely not a keep.
Cut. Fair enough. Robbie Gray.
Oh, hold. Massive hold.
Yep. Especially for Supercoach.
And I'm a trade.
Why are you trading?
Because I want to get the value. Okay. Why he's got it.
Source Jacobs from Adelaide.
Cut.
I'm keeping him.
Cut. Don't want him. Cut.
Yeah,
get out.
I'm of the ruck thing, and I'm unsure what they're doing with the second ruck option. So Sam might be the riser this year. So I'll be a hold for the time being, and it's a little bit the same with Steph Martin. I don't know what's happening with the rucks. I want to see. He's generally been a top 10 ruckman. Most times the last 3 to 5 years he's been a top 5 ruckman, so I'll be keeping.
Cut him.
I think Adelaide, with Source being 30 years old, do you think they play more Riley O'Brien in tandem with him this year? But it's just that whole ruck situation. We've got no idea what's going to happen, do we?
Yeah, I just don't think either of those are forwards. And this is why Port have gone that option. They've got 2 ruckmen who are actually forwards.
Mm. Yep.
Adelaide hasn't got that. I don't know if they've got it elsewhere, but we'll just have to wait and see. But I'm hold.
Sean Greig.
Cut.
Is it cut?
Cut.
Cut. Cut.
Hooley Dooley.
Cut.
Basha Hooley. I'd trade him.
I'd probably hold.
I'd hold.
Joel Selwood.
Keep.
Hold.
Keep.
Armitage.
Keep. Hold.
I'm cutting. You hold Armitage.
No, that was Selwood, sorry. Armitage, definitely not.
I've got that for the you suck show. Your brain or something.
Keep the soundbite for you suck. Very good.
Yeah, please do. JPK.
Trade.
Yeah, agree.
Trade.
Already traded him, but yeah. Jarryn Geary is a cut for me.
Cut.
Shouldn't be on the list. Poor editing, Steve.
He's 30 years old.
Hey, if there was worse ones that made it through.
Todd Goldstein.
Same ruck theory, keep.
Hold. Yep.
Jared Harbrow.
Cut.
I cut, yeah.
Yeah, you'd be able to redraft him.
He had a good year, though, didn't he?
He had a good year fantasy-wise, but he's always been that 80-ish averaging super coach, so there's a case to hold him in super coach, but redraft him in AFL fantasy. Tommy Hawkins.
It's a no for me, but I know your super coaches will feel differently.
You could probably trade him in both and get a little bit of value. I don't know if he's going to return the same sort of average that he did this year than he will next year. So I'd be putting him up for trade. And if you got Sean Higgins, put the two together and might be able to get something decent.
Yeah, I think that scenario makes sense that you mentioned, Jono. But I mean, if I couldn't find value on him, I'd hold him.
Yeah. Not going to cost anything to hold him. So, Matty Suckling, I'm cutting. Yeah. Just don't think his body's holding up anymore. Travis Boak.
I traded him this year, so I would trade him, and if no one nibbled, I'd cut him.
Does he retain forward status?
Probably.
Yes.
He should.
Yeah. If he retains forward, then I'm keeping him, I think.
I'm pretty happy to cut him, to be honest.
Yep.
Ricky Henderson from...
Yeah, he's going to be mid-only, no thanks. Cut.
Fair enough. Cut. Hooker. Cut.
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 Shane Edwards.
Cut. Cut. Better player than fantasy.
Jack Revolt. I'm keeping.
I'm probably cutting and I'm hoping someone drafts him early.
I'm gone. I would actually try to sell him if I got nothing. Like Boak. If I got nothing, I just cut.
See, if I look at him and Tommy Hawkins, I'm probably holding Jack.
I'd hold Jack. It's just interesting to see how that dynamic works. And if it does work, then you can trade him out for a bit of value. And if not,
I'm talking super coach, so I don't think they're the same super coach player. But so Tomahawk was a trade in Dream Team. I'm pretty happy to cut J-Roo. He's a great player. I love watching him play, but it's just the forwards thing. Like, the funny thing is, we're talking about forwards as though they're sort of this guy you have to keep, but so many of the young players coming through who are about to become stars, they're listed as forwards.
Yeah.
So I think that's kind of where people get caught up a little bit.
Chris Mayne. Cut.
Cut.
I'm just shaking my head that his name's on the list.
Well, he's in my keeper team. He's backup.
How many injuries did Collingwood have this year? I mean, he did pretty well, but that's the reason why he played so many games.
Plays a lot of tackles.
Yeah. Tackles are good, especially if he retains forward status. That forward pressure would be enormous. Pierce Hanley, cut.
He's got to go, doesn't he?
Mm-hmm. He might be going back to Ireland, isn't he? I thought he was going back to Ireland. Was that one or the other? Was that Kieran Byrne or whatever his name was?
Yeah, it's not Pierce Hanley, mate.
Isaac Smith.
It depends on his status. If he's a mid-only, I'm not a fan. If he's got forward status, then he's a clear keep.
Agreed.
Yeah, I don't know. It depends on my list. I might be tempted even if he's a mid-only.
Josh Jenkins should not be on a list.
Correct.
Dane Zorko.
Trade him to Steve. If Steve's not in your league, just cut.
Cut him.
Wow.
Wow.
I'm only joking. Yeah, he's a keeper. If you got him, you sort of close your eyes on the 60s and accept the 140s.
Do you think it was interesting that, Zorko had such a terrible year, but he was a worse keeper in real life, according to Instagram, than in fantasy footy.
Well, I think that's a tough year. I'm putting him up for trade.
Yeah, you're right. You'll get something, no doubt.
Hopefully. Wonder if he will.
I was going to say it might be his sister's best mate or something like that. We love you, Dane. Why is he on this? Matthew Loeb.
Cut. Move on.
What's his name? Bryce Gibbs.
Oh, okay. I thought you were going to say Simpson. No, you keep Bryce Gibbs. He's another one that you've got to consider when you trade, when he's got value.
See, I think this is the highest he'll be for the next few years. I would trade him this year. Trade him right now.
Yeah, I'm a great believer that if you're managing your keeper league straight away, no one retires on you because you've got something for them on the way out. So I traded Brendan Goddard halfway through the year with the inkling that he was going to be gone by the end of the year. So the only time I'm going to get value from him, and I wasn't up for the premiership, was to trade him.
Yeah, you're obviously keeping him going into the year, but he's another one of those guys, you probably see how it shakes out. I don't actually think he's going to improve on his average this year, but he's just one of those guys, he doesn't miss, so it's not like his value is going to completely fall off a cliff.
Yeah, and he's going to be in your top four midfielders, isn't he?
Yeah, you'd think so.
Any team, yeah, any team.
I am a little bit worried about his role going into the year, but we'll see.
Okay.
No, and the last one is Dawson Simpson. And if you're someone like me in a league who doesn't have a ruckman, I'm keeping him because just remember, Shane Mumford has got a 3-game ban from the GWS. So
can that be served in the preseason?
I'm not too sure, but I'm just taking it on as the first 3 games if he does get redrafted.
I will say you're better off cutting him and keeping a quality young player. Because you're going to be able to pick up a ruckman in
the
top-up draft.
Yeah.
So you're better off keeping Golf Run. Because he's got a future where Simpson's got 3 games. So bugger that off and pick up someone at, you know, round 18.
Just draft Belcho.
All about Kurt Tippett. That's all I'm about next year.
You know what?
You'd be able to draft Zach Clark.
You'll be able to draft Matty Cruiser.
Yeah, that's true.
Be interesting. But moving on to the second part of the show now, we are talking those players who are under 22 we want to draft into our teams on the cheap. They may have given us a bit of a hint that they can be a fantasy scorer, but haven't quite been that household name yet, and we want him in our team. Steve, why don't you kick us off of who you're targeting to trade in next year?
Yeah, so my trade, the guy who I'm trying to trade in before it all happens is Jack Higgins from Richmond, and I think he's a great buy low. He hasn't really put together a huge ceiling game just yet, especially in Dream Team. He's had 3 Supercoach tons, which I think's really nice. He averaged the 62 Dream Team and 72 Supercoach in his first season of footy. Look, we know he was a scoring machine in the juniors, one of the highest scoring they've ever recorded. And there's some signs that he's about to be a fantasy star in the big time. So he's hit the scoreboard quite a lot with his 12 goals in his debut season. He's shown the ability to win the outside ball, lay tackles, take some marks. But the thing that gets me really excited is he averaged 8 contested possessions a game. Just Cam's dog, huge Jack Higgins fan. Cam's dog
shitting on the bed again.
Cam's dog has just pinched a deuce off. Loves the 8 contested possessions a game. And that's enormous and so good for a first-year player. In fact, it's probably more in line with second-year players like Jared Berry and you know, even a Sam Powell Pepper's kind of in that range as well. So Fantasy Freako tweeted out that Richmond won the centre bounces or centre clearances at their highest rate when Jack Higgins was actually in there. So I'm thinking that can improve even more, and so should his game time. He only registered 71% time on ground this year, so another pre-season or two and he'll be stepping right up into that 80% bracket, you would imagine. The other thing to consider is Sean Grigg, who's a bit of a mainstay in the Richmond midfield. He's coming to the end, so there should be a bit of midfield time open up. Richmond probably aren't the deepest midfield going around in terms of top-end talent. They're obviously a very good team and play a lot of guys through there, but I really think Jack Higgins is a guy you have to look at. I really can't stress how good 8 contested possessions is a game for a first-year player. Should still be a forward heading into this coming season, and I'll just be getting on before he goes bang, because I think he's got a really good ceiling.
My concern with Jack Higgins is if he's one of those players that actually is at the peak of his career this early. So that's just the challenge on what he can develop into. So that's the only question mark, and that comes from the thought process of what he's done in the juniors. And there's plenty of players like this that excel at that level. They start senior football quite well, but actually have they got improvement in their athletic capabilities to actually get better? So if he's at his peak right now, unfortunately, he might just be a good, steady scorer for us. If he's got room for improvement, then he could peak like Steve's suggesting he might.
Well, I think the nice thing is you've seen him rack up 25 touches in a game. You've seen him kick 3 goals in a game. You've seen him lay multiple tackles, take multiple marks in a match. So it's a matter of can he put it together consistently, I guess. But I really think it's there. So I'm looking to grab him cheap, and certainly I'd be keeping him if he was already on my list.
Yeah, no, totally agree. Who have you got you there for your player there, Statesman?
So I've gone for Ryan Clark, which was the name on everyone's lips at this time last year. So he's moved to Sydney. So it'll be interesting to see if he remains value in a trade with the speculation of the positional play, taking Hannah's midfield time, etc. He will be a defender, so his scoring has great upside, although failed to capitalise on his good form at the end of the 2017 season, rolling into 2018. So I think he averaged about 85 in his last 8 rounds, 2017. So we're expecting a big lift for 2018, but we still saw that sort of high 60s average. So he might be on the nose for owners that hold him through that and might be happy to go, look, this is not going to happen for him. And that's happened. Taylor Duray was one of those defenders that was on everyone's lips about 5-6 years ago that didn't eventuate. And we know Archie was a fan of a certain West Coast defender that didn't mature this year as expected. So will Ryan Clark? I actually think he will. And I think he's moved to a club that's got plenty of opportunities for him for the 2019 season. So I'll be looking to trade in Ryan Clark.
Do you think he plays the Nick Newman role at the Swans?
No, because I don't think Nick Newman really had a role, and that's probably why he's left the club. But I think I. And to answer your question, sorry for being a smartass, but
that's right. That's what we're all about, being smartasses on this show.
Yeah. To answer your question, I think he'll split his time from halfback and rotate through the midfield. I don't think he'll be a starting mid like Hannah's was. I think there'll be a rotation of players, and I think that's what Sydney needs to do. I think you'll see Mills also go through there. So I think of quite a few players who actually play off the halfback and midfield. And Clark will get his time.
Statesman, what do you think happens with the...
Get fucked, Cam. I'll cut that out, that's fine.
Good. Please don't.
No, leave the nothing and then get fucked, Cam. That's probably
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, but you can start again, mate.
Okay, thanks. Do you think it's dependent on if McVay's body holds up his midfield time?
No, I don't think so. But I think McVeigh will fill the role that the club needs when his body is well. And what I mean by that, he has been the greatest swingman for them for the last 3 years. He's in the midfield when they need a hand. He's in the back half when they need a hand. He moves up forward when they need a hand. He's a very talented player, and he's been the one filling the holes for them. Don't think any other way. It's actually the coach loves McVeigh. So if McVeigh is fit, he'll play. Quite simple. What role will be determined on what the team needs that day.
The player I've got is James, the Torpedo Warple from Hawthorn. Ever since Daniel Howe got the suspension late in the season, the Warpedo stepped up and actually scored quite well in the last half dozen games, including tons in Supercoach and AFL Fantasy. So we know he does have a bit of a ceiling there. His tackles... He averages 4 tackles a game, 2 marks, 17.5 possessions from the 9 home and away games and 2 finals. So I don't know if they've got an exact role for him just yet, but I see him as that inside-outside midfielder because he was involved in a lot of score involvements for the Hawks. He does have a good foot on him, so similar to that, he can play that Isaac Smith outside role. Will be a pure midfielder, but only 19 years of age, so... he's not going to jump up and average too much, you would think, next year while he's still developing. He averaged the 68 AFL Fantasy and 72 Supercoach, but I can see him going inside midfielder when he does develop a bit more. I mean, Tommy Mitchell's 26 now, and you've got Jaeger and Mira, so at a young age as well. So it could be Jaeger and Warple as the 1-2 combo in the years to come. So before he really breaks out in the coming years, I'm looking to get... James Warple in my team.
The reason why I'll vote against you, Jono, is more the law of averages. You may be 100% correct on Warple for next year, but I never take the punt on the second year, which means I miss the Tarantos and the Olivers. But the third year breakout is the law of averages. The highly talented ones break out in their third year. So with those trade-in targets, I'm trying to hit the third-year player who hasn't quite broken out that should. Yep. And it's not saying that you're wrong. It's just the law of averages says that I'm going to be right more often.
Well, you're an old man who has no patience, so Whoa. You can't just dash.
So do you have to
you
be
want the
old
instant gratification where I play the long game?
I thought that was when you were young, instant gratification, but anyway.
Well, the younger generation do want the instant gratification, so do the older people, because they know they don't have much time left on this planet.
I think it's
that mustache, hopefully.
I think it's a really interesting one, Jono. He's probably not someone who's at the forefront of my mind as a guy I'm after, but yeah, I mean, things are there, aren't they? So it's an interesting
I watch a lot of Hawthorn games, and as I said, he did play that Isaac Smith / good personality Tom Lynch link man, so that's points and super coach. And so there is... I don't think he'll ever be a DPP. I don't see him being that small to mid-sized goal kicker, but yeah, just one to watch, and 19 years of age, so plenty of time, and just dash him on as an emergency. Who have you got there, Cam?
So I'm looking to trade in, because I would think someone's withheld this guy, but, you know, otherwise I'm looking to draft very early Wayne Miller. We talked about him a couple of weeks ago on the Halloween pod, and I just, you know, his last 7 games of the season, he finished with 89 in AFL Fantasy for an average and 95 from a super coach perspective. And I think he's, you know, when you look at that and you look at the rest of his season, I think overall he averaged about 75. And so he may not be on the radar of just about everyone, but someone savvy will have held him and will hold him until next year. This year he had a DPP, but it's probably not the right DPP to hold. Next year it's going to be defend mid, and that's going to be pretty tasty, I think, especially for someone who I see as breaking out. And, you know, fantastic segue from Statesman in regards to third-year breakouts. This guy is about to hit his third year. I expect him, well, it's his technically fourth year, but his first year he played like three games. He's going to hit his straps this year. He's going to go absolutely massive. And just to quell any doubts about the impact of Brody Smith on his scoring potential, he actually scored more when Brody Smith came back for those last couple of games. So big on Wayne Miller next year.
Yeah, I actually had an article sent through by a prospective writer highlighting how good they think Wayne Miller is today. So, you know, your sentiment's right. I'm just wondering, you know, if the Wayne Miller and everyone owner in everyone's leagues is on to the fact that his scores were pretty hot at the end of the year. I'm just wondering if that's going to catch you up in terms of buying low.
Yeah, I think it's a really good point. And what I'm hopeful for is, you know, if someone has Wayne Miller, I'd be throwing one of my late 30s who could potentially score more and deliver them, you know, a premiership. So, and trading them for a Wayne Miller.
I like the idea of Wayne Miller, but I just think it's Luke Dunstan all over again. We could get severely burnt on him.
I left you guys Andrew Brayshaw. Seriously, I left you him on the show, Doc, and no one took him. The right answer is Andrew Brayshaw.
I must have been written in invisible ink. I didn't see that one.
Well, yeah.
There was a lot of names on the show, Doc, this week. What are we like for time? Do we want to go that last bit?
Yeah, we're going the stash. Go the stash right. Player.
Make we'll go the stash player.
Go the stash.
This player has virtually given us absolutely nothing. It's purely speculative. So, Steve, who are you going there?
My absolute stash is Jordan Dawson from the Sydney Swans. Has played the five games over two seasons. Crushes the kneeful with some serious inside numbers. So, but he's not really played that role in the AFL. He's played a forward midfield style role in the AFL. Has shown the ability to score, though, in that role. With a 93 Dream Team and 85 Supercoach against Melbourne this season. So I think the stash makes sense, especially if he has forward status. Whether that happens, well, who knows, because he obviously played basically pure mid in the kneeful. A couple of departures through the Sydney midfield. Hanbury with the inside and Newman on the wing. Obviously, there's more likely candidates to step up and fill that time. But just the... It thins their depth out a little bit. I know Ryan Clark's come into the side. I've always seen him as more of an outside player. But it just makes it more likely that Dawson is actually in the best 22. Obviously, Josh Kennedy and Kieran Jack are closer to the end than the beginning, which is a positive for his prospects as a keeper. Whereas, you know, a negative is obviously Blakely might go straight past him if Sydney pick him up, which maybe, and maybe they have got cash to spend on a big recruit in the next off season, which could be a killer. But there's certainly opportunity. If Sydney have an injury or two, it could be good news for a player. And the fact is, he's actually shown a fantasy game when he's gotten a chance and in the second level. So look, he's just a stash. I think it makes sense. Especially when you're talking about a midfield which maybe isn't super deep like Sydney.
Yeah, no, I think he's got some real ability. It's just whether he gets the opportunity, that's the challenge. So good stash.
Who is your stash? And I'm not talking about that thing on your face, Statesman.
Well, I'll go a man in similar circumstances, actually. A third-year breakout. With the stock take sales at the Giants through the off-season with Scully, Setterfield, Shiel and the retirement of Griffin, there's plenty of spots available in the best 22 for one man that was my stash at the end of this year's draft. Took him as my last pick, defender Harry Perryman. Highly rated and heading into his third season with defender status, could be in for a breakout. He's been known to rack up 40-plus touches in the kneeful, so he can find the pill. Has had varying roles when he's had AFL games. He's played 16 over his first two seasons, so I reckon it's a big year heading in for Harry Perryman. It is a stash. It may not all come through year three, but the chances are reasonably high.
Yeah, big fan of Harry Perryman. Certainly going to get him late if you are doing a redraft, and it's a good stash. My stash is Jordan Gallucci from the Adelaide Crows. This guy's come from a volleyball background, so he's got a great vertical leap. Normally they come from the basketball background, but he's got a great vertical leap. He's got the speed. He's very versatile. He's played in a number of roles for the Crows this year. He's played defence, forward, midfield as well. Let me finish, and then you can say...
So I should have done it, but I just wanted to everyone to know that Harry Perryman once played badminton. So he has a badminton background.
Jesus.
I should have added that in.
Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It was like the players working at Mahackby Day. I'm like, is that a good thing or a bad thing? Wouldn't you send the kids down to Mahackby Day to work the grill?
Yeah, not Hugh, or is it a Hugh Greenwood?
I was looking at Hugh Greenwood going, mate, I can't take you. What's going on?
Look at the way he's flipping that burger.
Or is it a good thing? Because they're like, oh, we'll get the media exposure. I can't think it's a good thing. Miller was there too, so just, Cam, look out.
Must be a good thing.
Yeah, it must be.
Because so John Gallucci wasn't there.
Does he Miller has a McDonald's background.
Hey, Hugh Greenwood's got the basketball background, as we know.
Never heard that one before.
No, it's an interesting stat that no one's heard of, is it? But Gallucci, I think with an ageing Adelaide midfielder and unreliable midfield as well, with the Crouch brothers and Sloan getting on in age, that there is a role for Gallucci in that midfield, especially with his burst of speed from the pack. He could be your Jack Stephen type nuggety midfielder who can score you well, but he's certainly one I'll be stashing, and he's got a great chance of keeping DPP throughout his career if they do play him forward as well.
I actually think it's one of the deeper midfields in the league.
But it's an ageing midfield.
Well, is it? Well Gibbs is over 30.
Well, Brad,
he's not. Was he on the list?
Brad Crouch acts like he's 32.
Exactly.
The idea of Brad Crouch. Yeah, but Matt Crouch is in there. Cam Ellis-Yolman's in there. Hugh Greenwood's in there.
Yolman's not top-end talent.
He's a talent, but whether he gets the time in the midfield's a question. Is he an inside or an outside? Because if it's an outside, there's plenty of opportunities. Yeah.
Yeah, to be determined.
I think for the outside, they need that run.
Oh, Adelaide. Definitely. Yeah, he could play that Isaac Smith-type role. With the speed on the outside. And last but not least, Cam, who is your stash for your keeper league?
My stash?
What's their background?
Well, they don't have such a good vertical leap.
Is it table tennis?
It's not table tennis, but Aiden Bonner, GWS. A lot of very similar reasons to what Statesman had. But basically, the departures of Scully, Setterfield, and Scheel are going to open a plethora of spots. Yeah, well, you know, potato, potato, plethora, plethora. Of
is that
spots
a Three
in...
Amigos joke?
It was close.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's going to open some spots, is the long and short of it. And, like, when you look at Aiden Bonner's scoring potential. He's a number 11 pick in the draft. He's highly rated down there, but he didn't actually get the game time this year. And when he did, it was sort of rounds 20 through 23, and he scored absolute garbage from a fantasy perspective. But I'm more interested by the size of this guy. So he's rated as a mid-forward, and he'll keep his mid-forward status coming into the new year. But I don't think he's necessarily going to fit into the forward line at GWS. He sits at about 189 exactly centimetres and 86 kilos, so he's not exactly a small boy. And I can see them moving him through the midfield in spurts, even though they've got people like Taranto, Hopper and co for next year. I think he's a very long odds, but a speculative pick to have a pretty good season.
I'll go with the same as the Jono theory heading into his second year. I don't think there's any doubt that he's going to be a very good player, but I'd rather go the third-year option than the second-year option. Again, you're going to miss the Tarantos, the Olivers, but you're going to get more right than wrong. But look, they speak very highly of him. The interesting part of actually what happens in the next midfield set. So if you have him as a stash and GWS do another mini clean out the following year, you've got an absolute jet on your hands who's actually going to have DPP. So actually stashing him away now with the plan for what's happening in the following year, but you may get some benefit as early as this year, is not a bad risk to take for a stash.
Yeah, he's a player I'd want on my list, but I just get that feeling it's not going to happen this year.
Yeah. Yep.
So it might, you know, you might just stash him away, and then at the end of the year, see how your team looks and see what the moves GWS make. Certainly for the deeper keeper leagues, he might already be owned. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's quite interesting. And look, I'll throw it to you guys, but when you have someone who's played four games 1 year in their first year, is that their first year?
Yes. Yeah. So
I don't know.
I don't count it as.
I don't think I count it.
You're actually what it's all about. So make no distinction with this. It's not about how many games you play. It's the amount of pre-seasons you do. So that it's actually the actual building of your tank, your strength, and your agility, which makes you ready for the highest level. Because you're actually, unless you're injured, you're playing football. Now, whether some of the games are at state league or the highest level in AFL, they're actually preparing you for a career. Some people are built strong enough and have the sense of what they're doing, like a Sam Mitchell or a Clayton Oliver, to be good enough to make an impact in their second year. And let's all face it, look at the picture of Clayton Oliver in his second year. He still wasn't physically AFL ready. Trimmed third year, he looked like an absolute jet because that was three pre-seasons building in. So that's what it is. So first year is the year after you drafted your first pre-season, et cetera, et cetera. So it shouldn't be how many games you've actually had because you're still preparing all the way.
Yeah, fair enough. Good one.
Fair enough indeed. Well, that wraps up the show for this week. Listeners, you will be happy to know that I will be absent as I'm going to... And Staceman is just loving life. And if we can put up a picture of him in that one with Chris Hemsworth in the grand final, that's sort of what it looked like. But I will be absent next week. But the guys will be talking tips and tricks on how to win your league for next year. So good luck in that. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Draft Doctors Podcast. Don't forget to subscribe and review.